All right, hi everybody. This morning, big news broke, arguably the biggest news piece of the week. Buffett, you could argue, finally bought a position in Google. And we're going to talk about this transaction today, what I think of it, whether the timing of it is, well, right or not, or whether he could have done better, what I think of the investment, and so on and so forth. So without further ado, let's get started. What I'll do first is I'll read parts of her CNBC article that dropped this morning, and it just gives us some context on what's going on here. So they write, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealed a new position in Alphabet, making the Google parent the conglomerate's 10th largest equity holding at the end of September, according to a regulatory filing. And what I can do here real quick is I can also just show you the top 10 holdings as displayed on the website of Data Roamer. You can see Apple is still the largest position with a weight of around 22-23% here, followed by American Express, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, and Chevron. Those are really the big companies here. Combined, they make up more than 60% of the portfolio, if my math is right here. And then, yeah, towards the bottom of that list, you have Google with a weight of 1.6%. And I think that that represents or reflects a position worth $4.3 billion as of today. Back to the CNBC article. They write, Berkshire disclosed, yeah, what I just said, a $4.3 billion stake in Alphabet at the end of the third quarter, a surprising move given Buffett's traditional value investing philosophy and reluctance toward high-growth tech names. While Berkshire has owned Apple for years, Buffett has called it more of a consumer products company than a pure tech play. Yeah, and I think they're right here. I think Buffett has actually frequently been criticized for not making an investment in any of the big tech names. You could argue that he should possess the capabilities to understand, I think, all three, Google, Amazon, and Meta. Meta is a bit riskier because it's more of a single product company in a way. It's certainly much less internally diversified than Amazon and Google are. So yeah, I don't see Buffett ever buying Meta specifically, but I could totally see him buying Google and Amazon. And in fact, in the past, I've done a video in which I talked some of the big mistakes Buffett made in terms of mistakes of omission. So not making investments that you could have made that, well, then continued to do very well. And I think both Amazon and Google would have fit in some way in the profile of Berkshire's equity portfolio. But the authors of the CNBC article are, of course, right that Buffett has been, and that has been his strength always, that he has really always stuck to his circle of competence, and tech companies like Google, Meta, Amazon to some extent too. Well, he always claimed that he simply wasn't able to fully grasp what they're doing and what their future trajectory looks like. But then again, I'm going to show you a clip of Buffett in a second. He himself has pointed out, I think back in 2017 at the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting, that he thinks Google, not making an investment in Google, so in a way agreeing with the point I made in my video from 4 years ago, that this was one of Buffett's biggest mistakes. I think in it he said something like, I just blew it. And Charlie Munger was quite upfront about the fact that this was a mistake too. So let's pause the video here, or my part at least, and let me show you a quick clip from that Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. I think there's also a clip from a 2017-2018 CNBC video in which he kind of rehashes what he said during the annual meeting. So let's play that real quick.
Well, we avoided the tech stocks because we felt we had no advantage there and other people did. And I think that's a good idea not to play where the other people are better. But you know, if you ask me in retrospect, what was our worst mistake in the tech field? I think we were smart enough to figure out Google. Those ads worked so much better in the early days than anything else. So I would say that we failed you there. And we were smart enough to do it and didn't do it. We do that all the time, too.
Yeah, we were their customer very early on with Geico, for example. And we saw, these figures are way out of date, but as I remember, you know, we were paying them $10 or $11 a click or something like that. And anytime you're paying somebody $10 or $11 every time somebody just punches a little thing where you've got no cost at all, you know, that's a good business unless somebody's going to take it away from you. And so we were close up seeing the impact of that. And incidentally, if any of you don't have any do in your hotel rooms tonight. Just keep punching Progressive or something, and you're going to...
Very early on. So here we saw value in something at that time. I have no idea what we're paying per click now, but we were paying $10 or $11 a click for something that had no cost of goods sold, and we were going to keep doing it. I mean, we could see that. So I should have had more insight into that. Now, whether Bing was going to come along or other people were going to take away the market, that's another question. Whether you had sort of a first user advantage that would be would prevail, and there is a lot of technology to it, so somebody could have come along with a better technological product, and I would not have had any insights into that. I certainly had insights into the benefit to the user. Just imagine having something every time you just hit a click, you know, the cash register rung somewhere out in California. So it was an extraordinary business, and it has some aspects of a natural monopoly. I mean, it's very easy for me when I go to the computer. I've worked with Google before, but when I'm looking for information for the annual report, I used to have to mail away to federal agencies or go down to the public library, and now I can get it.
So there you have it. The one thing I would add here is that ever since then, so since around 2017, well, Google stock is up another 6x. So acknowledging that mistake back then, but then repeating it by not purchasing Google back then, which, as it turns out, would have been a wonderful investment if you move forward to today. Well, that's another mistake in a way. All right, before I talk about my thoughts on that decision, spoiler, I'm a bit skeptical of whether that's really a world-class investment decision. But before I do that, some more context here again. So I just told you it's a 4 billion position, 4.3 billion, 1.6% stake. And what I generally want to point out is that whenever there is a well-known company that shows up in the 13F filings of Berkshire Hathaway, the media headlines will be all over the place. And while this is certainly newsworthy, it absolutely is. It's not like it's a heavy bet that Buffett or Ted or Todd, in fact, I believe it's Ted, either Ted or Todd who made that investment, by the way. It's not like that's such a significant bet. So I just showed you the top 10 positions, and Apple right now represents, I think it was 22.6% of the portfolio. And not too long ago, Apple represented more than 50% of the equity portfolio. Obviously, the cash position has risen a lot because of that exit or the trimming of Apple. But that trimming going from above 50% to now less than 20% of the portfolio, even though that isn't accounting for the cash position that is building up on the side as well. Well, that's a major move in terms of the capital that is being not deployed, but sold here in a way, and much more material in terms of how it will impact the portfolio performance of Berkshire Hathaway than, well, almost a tiny 1.6% bet. And that 1.6% bet, as I just said, is not accounting for the cash that Berkshire is sitting on. I actually did the math beforehand. So we are currently looking at a $267 billion equity portfolio. Then I think Buffett has around $380 billion in cash. Combine that, which gives you a total portfolio value of, yeah, roughly $650 billion US dollars. And if you now take that 4% bet in on Google, well, that's less than a 1% position. I think the math was something like 0.6%. Now, clearly you could argue, is this really a Buffett bet, or is it rather a bet placed by Ted or Todd? To what extent does Craig Abel already make major investment decisions like this one? We don't know. We recently got a farewell letter from Warren Buffett, the letter he regularly drops on Thanksgiving. And one key passage from that letter that stood out to me reads, "Craig Abel will become the boss at the end. He's a great manager, a tireless worker, and an honest communicator. Wish him an extended tenure." So yeah, as I just said, I'm not sure to what extent he's involved in bigger equity investment decisions yet, whether he's just focused on the operational side of the non-publicly listed Berkshire Hathaway subsidiaries. I'm not quite sure. If I had to take a guess here, I would say it's either Ted or Todd, who previously have also made an investment in Amazon, which I think they still hold to this day in their sort of sub-portfolio within the broader Berkshire Hathaway equity portfolio. All right, and then to move on to my thoughts here. What do I think of that decision? I will say that I'm a bit skeptical here. I tweeted something like, of all the times Buffett, or Ted or Todd, could have bought Google at, this is really the time they're going to start finally buying Google. So in a way, implying that I'm a bit skeptical of the timing here. Before I get into the details of that, I also want to say that, of course, Berkshire Hathaway is severely limited in terms of, well, their investing universe. There are only a handful of companies, maybe 30, 40 companies, that they would argue they could potentially understand in the first place, and then that are big enough for Berkshire Hathaway to move the needle. And of course, if your investing universe is so small, well, you got to make compromises also on price, which is something I will talk about in a second. Clearly, and let me be quite upfront about that, Google is a world-class business. I don't think we have to talk about that much here. Google is one of the best businesses the world has ever seen. I previously, in this video, addressed the fact that it's also internally diversified. So it's not just a bet on Google Search. Now you get Waymo, you get YouTube, you get the cloud business, which is firing on all cylinders. All of that on top of the core search business, which in a way is challenged with the rise of AI. But clearly, as an investor, you have to constantly update your views on, well, certain developments. And I would argue Google is clearly in a better position in the AI race than it was earlier this year. So you have to take all of that into account as well. In terms of size, I also took or noted down two quotes from the letter that I cited from earlier. And here Buffett wrote, first of all, because of Berkshire's size and because of market levels, ideas are few, but not zero. So in a way, he was maybe already implying that the Google position will be disclosed soon. And later in the letter, he wrote, however, a decade or two from now, there will be many companies that have done better than Berkshire. Our size takes a toll. Okay, back to the timing and what I think of the decision. I have two more thoughts here. First of all, if we just run the numbers, so I was looking at the price Google was trading at in the third quarter. And if you simplify a little bit, basically Google's stock was trading in the range of $180 per share to $240 per share. If you take sort of the middle of that range, that would give you a share price of $210. So let's just say that's the average purchase price for Buffett or Ted or Todd, whoever it was. If you multiply that with the fully diluted shares outstanding, well, then you get to a market cap at which Buffett presumably made that purchase of $2.57 billion, more strictly speaking. Now, what does that imply in terms of the price Buffett was making that purchase at? Just a few quick back of the envelope multiples here. So that gives you a purchase price of 20.5 times operating profit. And to be fair, that's an operating profit based on the last 12 months that reflects historically high margins. It's based on an EBIT margin of almost 33%. Historically, over the last 7-8 years, that's certainly above the mean over that time period. Then I think what's always a worthwhile exercise to do is to consider what kind of free cash flow multiple does the company actually trade at, and especially a stock-based compensation adjusted multiple, because the big tech names in particular, they're diluting shareholders via SBC, so stock-based compensation, quite heavily. Of course, they're also buying back a ton of stock, but it's not like SBC comes for free. So again, some back of the envelope math here, I was getting to around $89 billion in free cash flow. How do I get there? Well, I took the cash flow from operations, which is around $150 billion US dollars over the last 12 months. I was subtracting half of CapEx because clearly, I understand that Google is in heavy reinvestment mode, certainly going through a reinvestment cycle right now. And arguably a good chunk of the CapEx, so capital expenditures, can be attributed to growth endeavors. Again, that's an estimate on my end. Clearly, all big tech names have become much more capital intensive, which arguably, and I would agree with that perception, makes them slightly lower quality businesses, actually. Anyway, if you take half of that, deduct it, then also deduct stock-based compensation, you arrive at around $89 billion in free cash flow, and that gives you around a 28.9 times multiple. Now, the $89 billion, that reflects a margin of 23%, and arguably Google is such a great business. I would argue that at steady state, if they really were to flex their profitability. They could be more profitable. So in a way, you could argue the business is actually a little cheaper. Anyway, but it shows, I would argue that's probably a fair multiple for Google, but I don't know whether Google is going to perform tremendously well from this level. I also will add sort of a more qualitative assessment here. I think the best time to Google over the past 5 to 10 years has always been, and that's true for any business. So yeah, I'm stating the obvious here, has been when the company was viewed critically, when it was viewed as an AI loser. And I think that perception has, well, fundamentally turned. I think Google is up around 90% from the May lows. So buying Google in May was a fantastic decision. Buying it in Q3, I'm not so sure, to be honest, because, well, I don't think you're a big contrarian here by being a buyer of Google in Q3. I think the sentiment, especially right now that we are in Q4, is, well, pretty good. I don't think buying Google at these levels right here will give you like spectacular returns. It may be a safe bet, maybe akin to an investment in Berkshire Hathaway in a way, a bet on a big conglomerate in a way that is just a very high quality a collection of businesses. So yeah, maybe that's the case. But I'm not a big fan of that investment, quite frankly. But I acknowledge that due to the size of Berkshire Hathaway, the business and the managers, so be it Ted or Todd or Buffett himself, they are also just limited in terms of their options. So you always have to take that into account as well. Okay, that was a lot. If you like these kind of takes, I would encourage you to subscribe to my blog as well, where, well, I usually share 1, 2, sometimes 3 pieces a week. Yep, head there and thank you for your attention. Take care and talk to you soon.